Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are tackling what I think is, well, maybe the most compelling professional conflict of our decade.
That's a big one.
It really is. We're looking at how artificial intelligence is moving into the classroom and really reshaping the core job of teaching.
But not in the way most people think.
Exactly. We aren't talking about efficiency metrics or, you know, test scores today. We are looking much, much deeper.
We're looking at identity.
Yes. How AI integration is challenging and ultimately changing the very identity of the human being standing in front of the students.
And specifically in the field of English language teaching, or ELT.
Which is a crucial area, isn't it? Because teaching is just so profoundly relational.
Absolutely. It's not just a delivery mechanism for content. It's a sense of professional self that is, I mean, it's rooted in human connection.
So when you introduce these technologies that can automate key traditionally human functions, like providing feedback or even drafting lesson plans,
you inevitably challenge the teacher's professional self concept. You're forcing them to ask, well, what's my job now?
So we are really diving into a high stakes moment of professional transformation. And the focus is all on that identity negotiation.
It is.
And the raw material for our deep dive today is, I think, extremely rich. It's a qualitative exploratory study, and it focuses on 12 pre-service ELT teachers.
And that pre-service part is key. These are novice instructors.
Right. They're highly vulnerable, still constructing their professional selves, and they're undergoing a semester-long practicum.
It's like a pressure cooker. And the context is critical, too. This is all happening in an Iranian context.
A non-Anglophone setting, which, as we're about to see, just intensely magnifies all of this identity friction.
Oh, absolutely. That contextual specificity is the whole game here. Our mission today is to really use the reflections, the teaching artifacts, the interviews gathered during this study.
To find those core nuggets of knowledge?
Yes. To see how these novice teachers reconstructed their professional identity. They started with, you know, a profound sense of uncertainty.
I can imagine.
And the data shows they were ultimately forced to redefine themselves. They moved from being these uncertain followers of tools to confident facilitators, critical instructional designers.
And data-informed practitioners. It's quite a journey.
It's a huge journey.
Before we really jump into the findings, let's just nail down the theoretical framework. We use this phrase professional identity a lot. But what does it actually mean in this context, you know, with all this technological disruption?
That's a great question. The source material defines this through a sociocultural and post-structural lens. So professional identity, or TPI, is explicitly not a fixed trait. It's not like your eye color.
Right. It's not static.
Not at all. It's an evolving sense of self. It is something constructed and constantly reconstructed through reflection, through intense social interaction with peers, students, supervisors.
And deep engagement with the specific context. So the cultural setting, the school, or in this case, a disruptive technology like AI.
Exactly. It's dynamic and it's dialogic. It's always in conversation, or, you know, sometimes in an argument with the world around it.
So if I'm a teacher, my identity isn't just knowing what to teach. It's actively arguing with myself and my peers about who I am while I'm teaching it.
And now, how I relate to this powerful non-human partner.
Precisely.
And, you know, the initial findings from the study immediately set up the central conflict we're going to explore today.
Okay.
The AI integration initially caused what the research called an overlap with traditional conceptions of the teacher role.
So it stepped on their toes, so to speak.
It did. It immediately sparked uncertainty about their authority and, crucially, their creative contribution.
But the key takeaway, which is surprisingly optimistic, is that rather than, I don't know, shoving down the teacher, the AI integration ultimately accelerated the entire identity negotiation process.
It forced them to grow faster.
That's fascinating. It sounds less like a threat and more like a high-pressure catalyst for professional growth.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Okay, let's unpack how this catalyst actually works, starting with section one, what tools we're talking about, and why that cultural context makes this study so unique and so urgent.
Let's do it.
So let's move into the nuts and bolts of the AI classroom. When we talk about AI integration in ELT, what specific tools were these novice teachers actually encountering in their practicum? And what do these things do?
Right. So we're looking at a broad technological ecosystem here, not just, you know, one single app. The tools used by the participants range from established technologies that have been around for a while.
Things we might already be familiar with.
Exactly. And then the newer generative models.
Right.
So on the more traditional side, you have things like intelligent tutoring systems or ITS.
Okay, what are those?
They're primarily automated feedback and practice programs. You can think of them as these dedicated digital drill sergeants that, you know, grade low-stakes assignments or provide instant mechanical corrections on grammar or vocabulary.
So the ITS handles the really repetitive objective tasks, the kind of stuff that can take up hours of a teacher's time.
Hours. And then you have adaptive learning platforms that personalize content delivery based on a student's performance. And crucially, the modern generative AI models.
This is the stuff making headlines.
This is the stuff. This includes tools like ChatGPT, which can produce complex text, draft teaching materials, or even simulate conversation partners.
Then you have things like Grammarly.
Right, which provides that automated structural feedback. And QuillBot, which is a paraphrasing and summarizing tool.
How would a teacher use something like QuillBot?
Well, a novice teacher might use it to quickly vary the phrasing of instructions for different proficiency levels, for example. Or they might use ChatGPT to generate, 10 examples of a complex grammar point in seconds.
That sounds like a massive enhancement in efficiency across the entire pedagogical lifecycle. I mean, from planning to teaching to assessment.
It's a huge lift.
So what were the practical affordances that these novice teachers experienced immediately? You know, the immediate wins.
The primary win is liberation. It's a time and capacity gain. AI can instantly free teachers from those repetitive, lower-order cognitive tasks we mentioned.
Specifically, low-stakes grading and the basic drafting of materials.
Right. And that operational efficiency is just massive for a novice teacher who might otherwise spend hours just generating enough practice material for one class.
And beyond simply saving time, does it change the teaching itself?
It does. Furthermore, these tools allow for the production of highly tailored practice pathways for individual students. This increases learner engagement through that personalized interaction.
And for the teacher?
For the teacher, they are essential in generating initial candidate lesson sequences or modeling appropriate responses very quickly. It gives them a reliable foundation to build on.
So if a teacher needs three versions of a reading comprehension, quiz easy, medium, hard AI delivers that draft in seconds instead of hours.
In seconds.
That augmentation of the production process sounds like an absolute dream for someone just starting out. But here's where the study makes its critical intervention. We know AI helps performance, but the research notes a huge gap in the existing literature when it comes to identity. Why is that?
Well, I think we focus so much on the cognitive outcomes. You know, the learner test scores, the efficiency metrics.
The easy to measure stuff.
The easy stuff. And we've largely ignored the deeper emotional and personal aspects of TPI, particularly for novice teachers. And frankly, that's a mistake because novices are the future of the profession.
So why are novice teachers the most vulnerable and, you know, therefore the most interesting cohort to study here?
Their professional identities are still forming. They're highly porous and very easily influenced by external pressures.
They don't have that solid core yet.
Not at all. They are essentially asking themselves, who am I supposed to be as a professional? And when a technology steps in and suggests it can execute foundational components of their job description, well, that creates immediate identity friction.
Of course.
If they haven't yet solidified a coherent sense of their professional self, they risk becoming what the literature calls fragmented self-information processors.
And what does that lead to?
It can lead to burnout and disengagement. They need a stable internal compass to navigate this.
Now we arrive at the contextual tensions, which, as you mentioned, are the most critical element here. Why does conducting this study in Iran, a non-Anglophone context, intensify this friction so dramatically?
It really comes down to a deep-seated cultural and pedagogical tradition. In many non-Anglophone contexts, including Iran, there is a profound, almost non-negotiable emphasis on humanistic teaching.
And this isn't just a friendly preference. It's a deep cultural expectation.
It's baked into the system.
So what does humanistic teaching actually entail in this specific context?
It means the teacher's role goes far, far beyond just linguistic transmission. It's built on relational pedagogy.
Meaning?
Meaning strong teacher-learner rapport, empathy, genuine communicative interaction, and the teacher acting as a sort of moral and cultural guide. The teacher is expected to be a person first and an expert second. It's highly personal and highly effective.
So the human connection is seen as foundational to the entire learning process, both culturally and institutionally.
Precisely. Now, contrast that deep-seated value with the purely mechanized efficiencies and the objective data-driven outputs promised by AI tools.
Right. AI is cold. Humanistic teaching must be warm.
And that immediately creates a huge role conflict for the novice teacher. They're trained to prioritize the human-centric approach, yet they're faced with these powerful digital tools pushing them toward a more technical, detached efficiency.
So the mandate to reconstruct their identity becomes urgent because the technological innovation isn't just disrupting a task, it's directly threatening a deeply valued cultural norm.
It's threatening the identity of the moral, empathetic guide. It creates an almost existential imperative for identity reconstruction.
And we see this tension in other places too, right?
We do. We see it echoed across similar global contexts. There was a study with Jordanian EFL students, for example, which found that while AI was efficient, the teacher's empathy, their cultural understanding, their ability to engage relationally, those things were still seen as irreplaceable.
So AI forces them to ask a really tough question.
It forces them to ask. If the machine handles the mechanics, what is the irreplaceable core of my humanistic value? If I stop grading grammar errors manually, have I stopped caring about my students' development?
Wow.
That is the internal debate that AI ignites.
And that profound question leads us directly to how they wrestled with the technology and began to reposition themselves, which is section two.
Let's get into that.
Let's delve into that first research question. How did these novice teachers actually negotiate and construct their professional identities in the face of all this?
We see a really clear progressive journey in the data. They move from this initial technological dependence to becoming what the researchers termed reflective co-designers.
Okay, so let's unpack the starting point.
Yeah.
What did that initial stage of dependence look like? The outline calls them AI suggestion followers.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. In the initial phase of the 16-week practicum, most of the participants, you know, feeling the instability of their novice status, they instinctively lean very heavily on the technology.
For support.
For validation, for production capacity. They viewed AI, whether it was Grammarly's correction or ChatGPT's lesson draft, as the definitive authority. The machine dictates practice at this stage.
I suppose when you are a novice, it's easier to trust the algorithm than your own shaky judgment?
It's the path of least resistance.
Do we have a specific example of this initial kind of uncritical dependence?
We do, and it's very clear. One participant, her name was Miriam, she explicitly stated in her early journal reflections, and I'm paraphrasing here, initially I just copied what feedback I got from Grammarly. I assumed it was optimal.
Wow. That highlights a significant lack of critical engagement, doesn't it?
It's huge. The machine's output was adopted as dogma, as the correct answer. This posture, it avoids the difficult work of pedagogical judgment.
That's a risky place to be professionally. If you are just a copier of algorithms, your identity is so fragile. But the study traces a clear transition, this aha moment, throughout the semester. How did that self-conception shift from follower to leader?
The essential shift was redefining AI not as the sole authority, but as a dynamic collaborator.
A partner.
A partner. A powerful first draft generator that requires human curation. And by the end of the semester, 10 out of the 12 novice teachers demonstrated a verifiable transition. They moved past being passive users of digital technology and became critical co-designers of learning experiences.
That is the assertion of a professional voice. Mm-hmm. So what does critical co-design look like in practice? How did Miriam's behavior change, for example?
Miriam's later reflections show the critical shift perfectly. She noted that she became more questioning and now actively sorted through the corrections provided by the tool. She wasn't just accepting them wholesale anymore.
You started asking questions.
She started asking, does this correction fit the complexity of this task? Is this vocabulary too advanced for my intermediate students? She began asserting her pedagogical judgment over the algorithmic guidance.
She understood that the AI is purely linguistic while she is contextual.
That is the leap, and it's a huge leap in professional identity. It sounds like the tool, paradoxically, actually catalyzed their reflection on their own underlying pedagogical goals.
It seems like it.
It absolutely did. The need to evaluate the AI's output forced a kind of metacognitive awareness. There is a reflective prompt from the study that encapsulates this perfectly, this internal questioning that signaled the repositioning.
What was it?
One novice teacher remarked, AI made me question why I teach the way I do.
That's profound.
It's profoundly important. By reviewing the automated draft, they were forced to articulate their own deep-seated pedagogical assumptions. And that is foundational work for establishing a mature professional identity. The AI forced them to move from unconscious practice to intentional design.
So the technology acted as an identity mirror, forcing them to look closer at themselves.
Perfect metaphor.
What were the tangible positive consequences of embracing this critical co-designing role?
The most immediate and practical consequence was the expansion of their pedagogical repertoire.
How so?
Because AI handled the heavy lifting, you know, the tedious drafting, the basic structure, the participants gained the necessary mental bandwidth and the time to experiment with a far greater number of teaching tasks and methods.
They could spend their finite energy on advanced strategies rather than just basic preparation. Give us a specific example of this expansion.
They pivoted toward higher order, more complex activities, things like communicative and project-based assignments, which, as you know, typically require immense planning complexity.
They're very time-intensive to create from scratch.
Very. And Hamad's quote is pivotal here. He stated that AI allowed me to focus on the communicative parts instead of grammar correction. It felt like a co-teacher.
I love that. He delegated the mechanical task of correction to the tool.
Which freed him, the human, to focus on the humanistic, relational, and higher-level goal of language learning. Authentic communication.
That reframing is so powerful. They stopped trying to be the tool and started deciding how to direct the tool.
Exactly. And this entire process of repositioning fundamentally fostered a critical consideration of digital mediation. The professional identity in this new reality emerges not despite the technology, but through the dynamic dialogic tension between what the machine can do
and what the teacher, with their judgment, should do.
That's the heart of it.
Which perfectly sets the stage for our second research question. How this internal shift translated into external professional power, into agency and autonomy.
Let's get into it.
We've established that the AI was recast from master to collaborator. So how did that shift translate into a stronger sense of professional agency and autonomy for these novice teachers?
The key distinction found in the research is, I think, pivotal for understanding autonomy in the AI era. These novice teachers, specifically 10 out of the 12 participants, they learned to use AI suggestions as scaffolds rather than rigid scripts.
That's a great distinction.
It is, because if you follow a script, you are just an executor, you're a performer. But if you use a scaffold, you are maintaining interpretive control over the final construction. And that interpretive control is the very essence of agency.
So the teacher's job is to define the boundaries of the scaffold, not just, you know, walk across the bridge the AI built for them.
Precisely. And the study beautifully breaks down this enhancement of agency into three specific pillars of autonomy and professional growth. This is where those efficiency gains we talked about translate directly into pedagogical power and identity consolidation.
Okay, let's detail those three pillars. What's the first one?
The first pillar is logistical, but it's crucial. A, reducing repetitive tasks. We've touched on this, the streamlining of low-stakes grading or the drafting of foundational materials. By eliminating that tedious labor, the teacher frees up capacity for higher-order tasks.
Tasks that require human judgment, empathy, and complexity.
The things only a human can do.
And the second pillar leverages that saved capacity, I assume.
It does. The second pillar is B, increasing the depth and amount of instruction in their instructional repertoire. Since they weren't constantly bogged down in content logistics, they could dedicate more class time and preparation time to exploring diverse, effective instructional methods.
They became more adventurous in their practice.
Exactly. And the third pillar focuses on the confidence to innovate.
Which is C, supporting self-directed experimentation with new teaching methods.
Right. This is perhaps the most significant pedagogical outcome. AI reduced the perceived risk of failure that's associated with trying out innovative approaches. Well, if their big new project-based activity template didn't work out, they could quickly generate a new, reliable backup plan using the AI. This empowerment allowed them to move beyond traditional textbook following and truly engage with communicative and student-centered approaches.
So this successful shift meant they were enacting the new identity frames we often hear about in the literature. They moved from simply teacher to something much more complex and multifaceted.
They really did. They actively embodied roles such as the evolving facilitator, the blended role practitioner, the flexible material designer, and even the creativity prompter.
Those are not passive roles.
Not at all. They are identities defined by curation, by critical judgment, and by strategic delegation. It's moving the teacher from a content generator to a sophisticated architect of the learning environment.
What's compelling is how the teachers themselves experienced this feeling of empowerment. I mean, it wasn't just observable in their actions, it was subjectively felt.
Oh, absolutely. They described AI as a co-teacher that lets me think more creatively. This demonstrates that they were exercising autonomy in action.
They weren't just adopting an algorithm.
No, they were confidently adapting its outputs to suit their specific learners' needs, asserting their professional judgment and their creative freedom in the process.
Now, this new environment didn't just automate old tasks. It sounds like it required a brand new professional skill set that previous generations of teachers just didn't need.
That is absolutely correct. The study notes that competence in the generative AI era increasingly revolves around what we now call prompt production.
Right. Prompt engineering.
The ability to articulate your pedagogical goals clearly enough for the machine to understand. Learning to talk effectively to the AI forces the teacher to clarify their goals and outcomes more precisely than ever before.
So prompt production is essentially outsourced metacognition.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be deeply aware of what you want before the machine can even begin to help you get it.
That's a brilliant way to put it. And it requires critical reading and evaluation of the model's responses, not just, you know, accepting the first thing it spits out.
Well, of course.
Furthermore, they need the skill of turning the analytics and the data provided by the AI into concrete pedagogical action. It's moving toward data-informed design, where the teacher must be the intelligent interpreter and the final decision maker.
The teacher then is not replaced. They simply move up the value chain. From a general practitioner to an ethical prompt engineer and a critical pedagogical evaluator.
A great summary.
But that ascent, it involves significant friction, which leads us to the emotional and ethical tensions inherent in this entire shift.
And this is where it gets really complicated.
So while efficiency and autonomy were certainly enhanced, the core of the novice teacher's struggle and the focus of research question 3 was navigating the inevitable ethical, emotional, and humanistic tensions that arose from this new reality. We are back to the central conflict. How do you balance the cold, mechanized efficiency of the AI with the core humanistic values that define teaching? Empathy, authenticity, relational responsiveness, especially in a culturally sensitive context.
That tension was immediate, and it was pervasive. It manifested as a kind of deep anxiety. The participants expressed profound ethical worry regarding the authenticity of assignments.
I can see that.
When AI can write a cohesive essay in seconds, the line between genuine student work and machine collaboration is fundamentally blurred.
And their professional identity relies heavily on being able to assess genuine human learning. If they can't trust the input, they can't perform their job with integrity.
Precisely. And they also struggled with blurred boundaries concerning their own professional output.
How do you mean?
Well, writing lesson design, curriculum drafting, material creation, that's often considered a treasured aspect of being a professional teacher.
It's a core expressive aspect of their identity formation.
Yes. So if the machine handles that, the teacher starts to ask, where is my originality? Where is my voice? This intellectual and emotional burden is what we refer to as epistemic worry.
Okay, that's jargon we definitely need to unpack thoroughly. What is epistemic worry, and how does it manifest in the classroom?
Epistemic worry is the anxiety surrounding knowledge, ownership, and authority.
Okay.
Who owns the knowledge? Who is the ultimate authority in the classroom? The teacher, the student, or the algorithm? It manifests as a fear that using the tool too much diminishes their own specialized knowledge or originality.
Which, for a novice teacher who is desperate to prove their expertise, anxiety could be crippling.
It can be. We have the example of Sarah, who articulated this perfectly.
Right.
Sarah, one of the participants, she crystallized this prevalent fear by posing the internal question. Did you write this or was it ChatGPT?
And she's asking that of her students' work and her own.
Both. And that single question reflects the widespread professional anxiety about the weakening of authorship and originality. It makes teaching feel like a constant policing effort, not a facilitating one.
And the study notes that AI integration significantly heightened emotional labor. Can you define that term again in this specific teaching context?
Sure. Emotional labor is the effort required to manage your internal emotions to meet professional expectations.
Okay.
Here, it means that novice teachers experienced this oscillation, a back and forth of feelings and worry in mediating these AI student interactions. They had to reconcile their deeply held belief in humanistic, authentic learning with the practical, often institutional, pressure to rely on algorithmic tools that might undermine that very authenticity.
So they have to to maintain a professional, nurturing demeanor while internally battling a moral dilemma.
Exactly. It's an exhausting process. This mirrors the argument in the literature that identity and language teaching is inherently emotional and intrinsically tied to moral and relational obligations. You can't teach language without that human connection.
And crucially, these ethical and emotional tensions are intensified in the specific institutional and cultural context we started with, Iranian EFL.
Yeah.
How does the context multiply the pressure?
The cultural setting acts as an intensifier because integrity, assessment transparency, and the teacher's moral role are extremely stressed and valued there. In this humanistic tradition, the teacher is expected to embody ethical behavior.
So they felt this moral duty to be advanced technologically and uphold a human-centric moral standard, which can often seem contradictory.
It's a genuine double bind. The fear is that adopting AI makes them appear cold or detached, compromising the very rapport their professional identity is built upon. They are navigating an identity space where they must be technologically adept and ethically pure.
The tension isn't just about how to use the tool, it's about the moral cost of efficiency.
That's it.
So if these tensions are so strong and the internal oscillation is so taxing, what was the mechanism that allowed them to navigate and ultimately resolve this conflict and solidify their new identity as a critical co-designer?
That mechanism was structured reflection. It was the indispensable catalyst that turned anxiety into agency.
Okay, so we've outlined the problem. Identity overlap, deep ethical dilemmas, and this emotional turbulence. And structured reflection was the essential bridge that allowed these novice teachers to process those conflicts and successfully craft a more cohesive professional identity.
It was the key.
So how was this reflection structured? It wasn't just them, you know, sitting and thinking,
right,
it sounds like a professional intervention.
It was a very deliberate, formal process embedded throughout the entire 16-week practicum. The structure included weekly journaling, which is essential for externalizing that internal conflict.
Getting it out on paper.
Exactly. Then there was guided peer exchange, allowing them to realize they weren't alone in their anxieties, and regular supervised conversations with mentors. These tools acted as mediating artifacts themselves, helping them consciously process their internal conflicts against external feedback.
So reflection was the critical tool they used to analyze the implications of the technology itself.
Right. Reflection transformed these ethical and emotional dilemmas into genuine opportunities for professional growth. The qualitative data vividly shows this transformation happening over time.
Let's look specifically at Layla. How do her weekly reflections chart this growth?
Layla's weekly journaling was instrumental in her transition. She moved from an initial state of uncertainty, she was fearful that AI would replace her, to developing a mindful, ethical approach to strategic AI use.
So her narrative changed.
Her narrative shifted from someone who believes the machine uses me to someone who understands that she decides how to use the tool responsibly and strategically. This shows identity emerging through that self-narrative and the conscious assertion of control.
She recognized that the power resides not in the tool's output, but in the human judgment exercised over that output.
That was her aha moment.
What about Nima? His experience highlights the importance of the social element, right?
Yes. Nima's experience highlights the social dialogic aspect of identity negotiation. Discussing his written reflections with the supervisor led him to a profound realization. The supervisor didn't just give him an answer, but helped him frame his thoughts.
Which led Nima to conclude that being a teacher today means being an ethical decision maker, not just a language model user.
A powerful reframing. That conversation with the mentor validated his ethical concerns and helped him internalize this powerful new professional role, that of a moral agent.
It's a remarkable feedback loop. The AI forced the tension, and the structured reflection forced the resolution. The AI then actually acted as a powerful reflective stimulus.
That is the core paradox of the whole study, the cognitive necessity of contemplating, evaluating, and revising the AI-generated suggestions actively sparked the teachers to re-examine their deepest pedagogical assumptions and professional boundaries.
The AI outputs effectively served as those identity mirrors we discussed.
They did. They created a profound metacognitive awareness that might have taken years to develop without this disruptive catalyst.
This evidence consolidates into the major theoretical finding of the study, the triadic model of identity formation in the AI era. Can you walk us through those three parts in detail?
Of course. This model integrates the cognitive, affective, and reflective dimensions, showing how they must interact for a stable identity consolidation in a technological environment.
Okay, first, the cognitive dimension. What's that?
This is the skill-based component. developing critical AI literacy, and increasing pedagogical agency. It's about learning how to use the tools effectively, interpret the data, and make informed decisions. It's the move from technological dependence to critical co-design.
This includes the skill of prompt engineering and critical curation we talked about.
Yes.
Second, the affective dimension, which captures the emotional reality.
This is all about managing the intense emotional turbulence and ethical dilemmas we just discussed. The authorship anxiety, the fear of losing authenticity, and the exhausting effort of balancing humanistic commitments with efficiency demands.
Identity in language teaching is inherently emotional.
It is, and this dimension addresses the necessary work of emotional regulation and professional resilience needed to stay grounded.
And finally, the reflective dimension, the bridge that makes the transition possible.
This is the essential mechanism. Integrating structured reflection journaling, peer critique, supervision into the process of creating evolving professional narratives. This dimension ensures that the cognitive gains, like new skills, and the effective struggles, like ethical worries, are consciously processed, internalized,
and woven into a cohesive, stable professional identity.
Right. Reflection turns those fragmented experiences into a unified story of professional growth.
So AI doesn't just change what they teach. It provides the mirror and the critical context for them to decide, ethically and effectively, who they are as professionals in the 21st century.
Precisely. And these findings provide us with extremely clear, actionable, practical implications for teacher education programs moving forward. They really define the new requirements for being an ELT professional.
Okay, we've charted the internal journey from follower to ethical co-designer. Now let's look at the external takeaways. What are the practical implications of these findings for institutions and for future teacher training programs?
The first, and I think the most significant implication, is the need to radically reconceptualize AI literacy. It absolutely cannot be taught as merely a technical skill. You know, how to open a generative AI interface and type a question.
It has to be more than that.
Much more. Teacher training must incorporate critical thinking, ethical reasoning, and sophisticated pedagogical judgment into its core curriculum.
So how do we actively avoid that uncritical, surface-level use of AI that Merriam started with? What does that look like in practice for a student teacher?
It requires structured tasks that compel ethical engagement. We need actionable steps. For instance, teaching students to generate an AI lesson plan and then forcing them to thoughtfully critique it.
Asking them to identify where the humanistic voice is lost.
Or where contextual empathy is missing, or pondering the nature of originality when grading an AI-assisted student essay. This fosters the self-awareness required to consciously reimagine their changing role.
A secondary action step within this is actively teaching the skill of prompt engineering.
But not as a technical hack, as a form of applied pedagogical articulation. The better they are at asking the right questions of the AI, the clearer they are about their own teaching intention.
The second major implication relates to the institutional environment, the urgent need for coherent institutional policy and governance.
This is so important. These novice teachers were wrestling with these ethical demons largely alone, leading to a fragmented identity process because they lacked clear organizational guidance.
That fragmentation is damaging, isn't it?
It is. Institutions must formalize clear frameworks concerning authorship and plagiarism thresholds, specifically defining the acceptable boundaries of AI use for both teachers and students.
And beyond plagiarism.
Well, guidelines on data privacy and critically transparency concerning students. When is AI being used? For what pedagogical purpose? Who is accessing the data? These things must be established. Clear policy provides a stable boundary that mitigates the fragmented experience of identity formation for novices.
Shifting back to pedagogy, what does this study tell us about the ultimate, unreplaceable core of the teaching profession, even with the most powerful AI?
The findings emphatically reiterate the unreplaceable human core. While AI can alleviate massive administrative burdens and streamline many aspects of pedagogy, it fundamentally cannot replace the relational and affective elements of teaching.
Empathy, contextual sensitivity, human rapport, moral guidance.
All of it. Therefore, teacher education must reaffirm and actively highlight the importance of humanistic pedagogy. Supporting teachers in maintaining their core humanistic values provides them with a stable, coherent professional identity and anchor, which is essential in these increasingly turbulent technological contexts.
The human connection remains the absolute bedrock of language learning and, crucially, of professional fulfillment.
It has to be.
Now, while the study offers this deep qualitative insight, it has unavoidable limitations that guide future research.
Yeah.
What are the key research gaps we should be aware of?
There are four critical limitations that we have to acknowledge when we think about generalizing these results. First, the small sample size. We're talking about 12 teachers from one institution.
So identity is highly contextual.
Very. So this limits the generalizability of findings across broader ELT settings, especially, say, high-stakes, large university programs.
And the timeline constraint.
That's the second limitation, the snapshot nature of the study. It only captures one semester, the practicum. We desperately lack longitudinal data that shows how identity consolidation shifts over a longer period.
Particularly the transition from the protected practicum phase into the difficult induction phase of their careers.
Exactly, where AI usage might face institutional pressure or, you know, budget constraints.
And the methodology.
Third, while this qualitative design provided deep insight into lived experiences, future research would benefit immensely from mixed methods approaches. Integrating these rich narrative data with quantitative measures of things like assessed AI literacy, quantified emotional resilience, or empirically measured teacher agency growth.
We need numbers to validate the stories.
We do. And finally, the crucial systemic and cross-cultural gaps, especially when we're talking about global education.
That's the fourth limitation, right?
Right. We need far more robust cross-cultural studies that specifically include equity and access issues in Global South contexts. Things like connectivity reliability, device availability, and varying levels of basic digital literacy. Those things profoundly affect how teachers can even begin to integrate AI.
If the tools are inaccessible, the identity dilemma is irrelevant.
It's a non-starter. And as we noted, governance and policy frameworks have received far too little attention in identity research, despite their direct daily influence on how teachers interpret and integrate AI ethically.
So this study is a brilliant foundational map of the internal landscape, but we need wider, longer-term, and policy-aware research to fully chart the future of the AI-mediated teacher identity.
That's a great way to put it.
Let's bring this deep dive home. The central conflict was resolved not by rejecting the AI, but by a profound act of professional reframing.
Absolutely. The main conclusion is crystal clear. AI acts as a transformative partner and a powerful catalyst for professional identity formation, provided, and we cannot overstate this.
It's a big gif.
It is. Provided it is coupled with structured reflection and genuine ethical engagement. The cognitive, affective, and reflective dimensions must work in concert.
The evidence confirms that language teaching remains an essentially human profession, built on reflection, empathy, relational care, and ethical professionalism.
AI is just refining what the role of a human teacher must be. It forces them to specialize in the human element.
The AI is not the replacement. It's the artifact that provokes critical inquiry, reconfigures professional responsibilities, and demands ethical reasoning.
It requires teachers to be more critically aware of their pedagogical intentions, their core values, than ever before. If it's incorporated thoughtfully, AI doesn't function as a threat. It functions as a partner that substantially enriches the teacher's reflective capacities and their professional scope.
Which brings us to our final thought for you, our listener, as you take this knowledge into your own professional life. The study suggested that AI tools can serve as identity mirrors for novice teachers by forcing them to evaluate their core professional values and boundaries.
What they will delegate and what they will keep sacred.
Yes. So we ask you to consider, what existing tool, task, or even a piece of standardized protocol in your field could you use as a deliberate reflective prompt to clarify your own professional purpose or ethical boundaries?
What routine artifact, if you critiqued its purpose today, would force you to re-examine why you do what you do and what value only you, the human expert, can bring to the table?
Use the mundane to clarify the profound. That's a powerful challenge for reflective practice. Thank you for diving deep with us today.